If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined. Hello. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
This is a horror movie where we read a horror movie. Wait. This is a horror movie. We're ruining a podcast just for you.
Honestly,
wait a minute.
That sounds great too.
So this is, of course, a podcast. We ruined a horror movie. Allison, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just, before we were recording this, was chomping down on a very crunchy half sour pickle.
And God, that makes me want a pickle so bad.
Pickles nothing are hits. That thing where, like, they satisfy both my want for something like super savory or salty. But also something crunchy and also hydration. like a really good crunchy, like, I like my pickles to be borderline still cucumbers.
I'm the same way. I don't
like a really, really soggy pickle.
How do you feel about
I hate the bread and butters.
I was going to say, like, do you like a sweet pickle? Like the,
Yeah, it was really, really delightful. I love a pickle. And it kind of, like, just, like, cuts through any, like, grease you've consumed. Like, it's just a nice little snack to feel like it's good for you because the vinegar, it's like good for your gut and like all those things. So I really am thrilled with my treat.
You know what? I'm going to suggest a pairing.
Hit me.
A piece of pizza and a pickle.
Delicious.
Seem like they'd be good compliments to each other.
Yeah.
But who's doing it?
Well,
are we going
to
do it?
I don't see it much. But I mean, one of my all-time favorite things is to have a grilled cheese and one or two really crunchy, sour pickles.
Okay. Then I think we're heading the right direction.
Yeah, it's similar. Similar vibes.
I just want to say this kind of reminds me of, I've never eaten Somalian food, but of course the Instagram Reels is just people trying different foods. And that's all I want to watch anyways.
Fine.
And sort of one of the ways in which Somalian food is served is with a banana. So you're sort of eating a savory dish, and then you're also eating a banana.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like I was born for this cuisine.
Are you a big salty, sweet mixer?
Huge fan, and
me
especially
too.
A banana fan. Because I
interesting.
Feel like, and having them separate to me, it's like, versus like a cooked banana, which is good, but like, you know what I mean? It could be a little mushy.
Sure.
Like to have a raw banana and then a cooked savory dish.
What type of, like, what texture of food is it typically, like, is it like a stew and you're eating a banana?
Yes,
or is it
I think
more
it's like
a heart, like a... Like,
yeah, sort of a stew potentially. Yeah, like a cooked dish, a soup,
okay.
a pasta even.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a cooked meal versus like, I understand like a rice dish versus like a sandwich or something.
Yes.
Yeah. No, this is a fully cooked...
Or like a salad-y type, like where it's like more raw, more crunchy...
Yes, yeah. Let's
but
see.
This is a cooked dish.
Yeah,
interesting.
Cooking with meat, sort of a polenta looking dish.
Oh, sure.
And then a fucking ripe banana. Oh.
Yeah. I could fuck around with that.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Shout out to every Somalian person while I was listening. And I guess it's like one of those things where I have never had their cuisine, so now I have to it will become my I want to say hyperfixation, but my mother calls them enthusiasms.
Oh, I think that's nice.
One of my enthusiasms.
One of your enthusiasms.
Finding Somalian food in LA.
How are you doing?
I'm good. God, I'm trying to think. It's one of those things that I'm currently taking a couple days off. Just like, this is September 1st. We're recording this.
Yeah.
I really struggle to relax. And also, there's just so much to do. Like, I'm just setting up doctor's appointments.
It's nonstop.
I have to go to FedEx. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'd really like to do something fun. It's like, no, I really just got to like clean and do all the other human stuff that I've been putting off.
Yeah.
But that's not much of a vacay.
Yeah. My plan on Monday while everyone is off, including me, but you know, from what, is to like completely empty out and reorganize my like front closet. That's like a catch-all for everything I own that doesn't make sense in another place. And it's chaos in there. And I've got to deal with it. It's like there's like a beach umbrella, batteries, like old photos, water cans. Like it's just chaos.
Well, how about I do the same and then we could be cleaning our big catch-all closets at the same time.
I really like that. Let's do that on Monday. cross country.
Because what else are we doing? Yeah.
Nothing. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to get stoned and put on some music and just slowly go through everything that's in there and hopefully throw some stuff away.
Sounds like a treat.
Yes.
I'm going to go see Bottoms. I mean, I haven't seen a non-horror movie in forever. I'm going to try to see some non-horror movies.
That's fun. I'm excited to see that.
People have said it's really funny. And yeah. I just want a movie that's not the movie Strays. Which yes. I will continue yes. to have a horrific vendetta against. I want a movie that feels like a human being wrote it. And I refuse.
Yes. And that human beings are in it.
And human beings are in it. And I refuse to see anything less. And I don't need it to be the best movie in the world. I just need to have a human touch. Don't tell me about any more Star Wars movies. Don't tell me about any more Marvel movies. I don't want to hear about any fucking IP. Oh, it's like a book, nope. a book or something. That's fine.
Yeah, sure. Get but not like the 10th iteration of an entertainment institution. Like, I just don't want it anymore. I want new,
yes,
fun, please. Human stories.
And if they're queer, that's even better.
Even better.
But yeah, let us begin. We are doing Greatest Fears Month.
Yes.
And we are using our own greatest fears.
Mm-hmm.
We did the dentist last week with the dentist from 1996. I'll tell
you, I brushed my teeth after we finished recording.
Oh, fuck, I did. You just see my teeth just start to fall out.
But then I had the pickle and I'm just like, we're mixing some stuff here. But,
interesting. Yeah, it's like drinking orange juice after brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
We are doing, this week, we're going to do Heights, one of Allison's yes. fears. I tried to watch the 2022 movie Fall because it's about two women climbing an extremely long tall tower.
But I had
a problem with my Netflix account where it's just sort of like, I will just never use Netflix if you're making it hard for me, that's the
was
one.
Was it like a login situation or was it like this title is unavailable?
This title's unavailable for, if you have a subscription where you have ads, but I didn't realize that's what I had. So I was like, oh, I'll upgrade to no ads because it's not that much more expensive. But then it doesn't take effect until the next time billing it renews. Cycle. So I was like, I guess I could watch it after September 30th. So then what did I do? Anywho, the fact that they're trying to do this means obviously they're not making money. Streaming is a scam. You know, what do you do?
Streaming is a scam. They don't pay residuals. They don't take care of their artists and employees. So
and if they think those yachts of theirs aren't gonna go up in flames sometime soon, they got another thing coming.
Orcas, do your thing.
But I did find a movie that I had wanted to watch for the pod for a while, and that movie is 2010's Frozen.
Yes.
And we always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think about the trailer for Frozen?
This is very scary. This has a lot of different fears all
good.
In
I'm
one
so
of
glad.
Mine.
Okay, great.
Heights being a big one, but also being abandoned somewhere is a very scary. Like, I don't know if I would identify that as I'm terrified of, but and then also dark.
Deeply dark. Deeply dark.
Darkness.
Trapped at night outside
high
in
up.
The wintertime. Yes. High up.
And high up. It's everything. It's all the everything. Stuff.
And
so
then there's
I
more,
didn't like it.
I don't know if it's in the trailer because I have not watched the trailer.
Oh,
there's
is it
another.
Wolves?
The other element is wolves. And honestly, yes. I didn't look. I just started watching this. I wasn't anticipating the wolves. I was like, oh boy, take it from bad to worse.
Wow.
I'm not afraid of wolves, but in this context, I would be.
Yes, of course.
I very much would be.
Yes.
We always take a baseline scary. And I guess what I would ask you, Allison, how does this, just from the trailer, what of this evokes in you the biggest fear? And then also, because you said you're afraid of heights, what to you is like the most, a situation with heights you would never find yourself in? Because a chairlift is high, but it's not that high.
I used to ski a lot when I was younger, and I didn't love being on the chairlift, but I could kind of dissociate for the ride.
Because it's very brief. Yeah, it's not taking too long.
To me, it's there was something I saw on TikTok that wasn't even supposed to be evoking this the other day, but it was I get served a lot of New York real estate shit. And it's look at this $57 million penthouse. And I'm like, okay. But it was a guy who was on the 50th floor of this luxury apartment building. And he was out on their terrace. And he was leaning on the railing. And it's it was a glass wall. And it was it came up to maybe his waist.
Ooh.
And I was I don't think that is height. Like, like a straw, like I, and so there was a drone that was like kind of like zooming in and out. And I was like, this is so, like, I could, like, I remember my friend lived on the 31st floor in Midtown of a building and he had floor to ceiling windows. And
I couldn't do it.
I wouldn't go near the window.
I wouldn't either.
I was like across the, I was like up against the front door the whole time. And like, it was, and that wasn't even that bad in comparison to like what some heights are. Like, I don't get it.
I'm
not bad on flying. I like can, I have other fears with flying.
You're kind of contained and you're also moving.
You can just not look
out. A little different.
You can not look out the window and like you're not visually aware of the height situation. But like being on a ladder, being up on a, like, I live on the third floor and I have a terrace. To me, that's high enough.
Whenever you see like window washers in New York on the outside of a building.
No.
Well, I always get video of, and I'm assuming this is the building you get video as well, as the Central Park Tower, which has 98 above ground stories.
Nope.
And it is the second tallest building in New York City, the United States, and the Western Hemisphere, the 15th tallest building in the world. And literally, like, I've seen, you know, because obviously they're like, oh, look how luxurious. I don't know what rich people think being alive is. Like, just to be that high is, there's something in me, my, I don't know if it's my lizard brain or my mammal brain or what. It is perverse in a very particular terrifying way. And I'm just thinking, New York gets rain, it gets wind, it gets snow. You want to be up that high?
No.
Hearing your windows flex against the fucking wind?
No. When you're, and there's like certain tall buildings that sway in the wind and the rain.
They have
like,
to, because in order so it doesn't get knocked down. So you have to know that it's going to sway. And you're 1,500 feet above the earth?
No.
You might as well be on the moon.
I have no interest.
No fucking interest. That is not impressive. If I met someone, I'd be like, you have to, whatever this is, you have to control it.
Stop it.
You have to see a doctor about whatever is making you live here. So we're on the same page, and I'm really glad. Would you like to guess the twist in 2010's Frozen, Allison?
Guess the twist.
Okay, so from what I can tell from the trailer, it's these three friends that are going skiing and snowboarding, and they, like, scam their way into getting a lift ticket without paying. My guess is the lift operator saw their grift and intentionally trapped them up there.
Oh, malicious. Malicious, malignant, evil, depraved, debased. And we love to see it. Let us begin. Ruining Frozen. We open on a beautiful ski slope. Oh, wait, I did ask. Do you ski?
I used to ski. I can't ski anymore because my back, obviously. But I spent my
whole youth. Into a million pieces.
Yeah, I spent my whole youth skiing a lot. We used to go, my dad and I used to go out to Colorado and ski in the Powder, and I would ski up and down the West Coast all the time. And but I haven't done it since college.
Yeah, we used to
go. It's such a bummer.
We used to go skiing. We're from Northeast Ohio, and we would go to this ski. It's just like sort of like a smaller, I don't even know what you call it. It's not a resort, but it's like
a slope. Yeah,
yeah. But unfortunately, I believe they've been having. I don't even know if it's still open. Because of climate change.
Climate change.
Like, Northeast Ohio does not get the snowfall. Like, when I was in fifth grade, I remember going, and it was like, there were like 5 feet of powder. Like, we got so much, like, lake effect snow.
Yeah.
And now I really wonder if this is, okay, it looks like it's still open. But yeah, I imagine that it is a struggle to keep snow on it.
A lot of the ski slopes got hit. Like, I think about, like, we used to go in Western Maryland and in New York State and Pennsylvania all the time. And, like, none of those places got snow in the last 2 years. So I don't know what's happening with that. But
yeah. And it looks like, okay, I found their Instagram. It looks like they do a lot of, like, nature stuff, like, you know, like other seasons. Like, they have, like, concerts and stuff there. That's smart. I do wonder, that is part of, part of a sporting world that I wonder if, just climate change naturally affecting it.
Yeah.
What that's going to look like.
RIP skiing. Did you ski or snowboard or both?
I did ski. Snowboarding was like popular in the 90s, but I remember my brothers trying it. I just didn't have any interest. I thought it looked
cool,
but I was just like, it's not for me.
I was like, once I learned how to ski and was like a decent skier, I was like, well, I'm not going to start from scratch. Like, it took a minute to get good at skiing. Like, Yeah. I just be able to do what I'm doing.
I guess I feel like my problem was like this. I had the same problem at the beach. I want to do something for about a half an hour.
Yeah.
So it's like you go, you have to pay money to rent all the stuff. Day. You know, so you're there for hours because like your parents are like, we buy you these fucking passes. You're going to be here for 5 hours, bitch. And I just, after about an hour, I'm like, I'm just going to go drink hot cocoa. And
I do love like après ski culture.
Oh yeah. A snuggly little sweater, little like, packet of,
you're kind of like your cheeks are ruddy from being outside and you've like exercised. So you kind of get to like enjoy, like I remember getting like hot chocolate and like chicken tenders and fries and
heaven. I will say, I do remember somebody tweeting. It was like, the Winter Olympics were invented so that white people can win some of the sporting events. And I mean, correct. If you look at the demographics of who's playing,
of course.
But then remember when they had the Winter Games in Sochi and they had to basically import all the snow because they didn't have snow there. And that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Well, they were like dogs walking. They claimed they were like dogs walking around in the hallways of the hotels. I don't think that was true, but yeah, what a time in our nation's history. Well, moving on, I suppose. Let us begin ruining the movie Frozen. Mm. Allison, we open on a ski slope and we meet our friends. They are Dan, Parker, and Lynch. That's his last name. His first name is Joe. And basically, Dan and Lynch have been at this ski place before, and Parker sort of brought along. She is Dan's girlfriend. Okay. And there's already established that Lynch and Parker sort of, Lynch does not like Parker because he sees her as sort of butting in on their bro time.
Okay, yes, of course.
And he's been friends with Dan since they were in first grade. And he's like, and the implication is they're in college and Parker's sort of Dan's first real serious girlfriend. And they have seemingly a really positive, healthy relationship, but Lynch is very jealous of their like connection and time. And he's already like, oh my God, we got to bring her. This is supposed to be like we go skiing together and that's our thing. But they're waiting at the ski slope because they do not have enough money for a pass. So what they do, these two guys, when they've gone before, is wait until there's a woman who works at the ski lift. Yes. And one of them will go and hit on her and then give her $50 and be like, let's let us ride. We're paying you directly. We have our own stuff. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And usually it works. Allison, this time the person who shows up is a dude. And everyone has to be heterosexual, apparently.
Yep.
So they say, Lynch and Dan say to Parker, you're going to go hit on this guy? You're going to say, you mean my girlfriends? Okay, you're not going to mention us. We want to know, oh, we forgot our credit cards. This is so embarrassing. We drove all the way here. Is there any way you could let us ride? And Dan leans over and unzips her coat and like to see her like cleavage. He's like, you're going to do great. And he gives her $250, so $50 and $100. Yeah. So she goes over to scam the ski lift guy. And Lynch turns and just unleashes all of his pent-up friend animosity towards her, like to Parker, to Dan immediately. He's like, why did you have to come? We haven't seen you at Fezziwigs for $1 drafts all semester or at Monday Night Football. It's like you're pussy whipped, you know?
Right.
And there, the ski resort is called Mount Holliston. He's like, Mount Holliston used to be our thing. And Dan, it seems like the most emotionally mature college guy. He's just like, you know, you got to tell me when you're this upset. Like, you don't let it build up. Like,
wow. I watched football with you. That's some emotional maturity.
And he's like, I watched football with you last week. He's like, and Lynch is like, well, yeah, I know, but that's not the same thing. And it's like, trying to like have this conversation. But she's like, oh, I'm spending more time with my girlfriend. You know, this seems like a serious thing. Lynch was sort of my life partner. And now it's like, you know, this sort of friend jealousy of a romantic partner, but then we can't have any more backstory because Parker comes over, the guy bought it, you know?
Well, they're going up.
Yeah. And Dan immediately's like, you know, they're in line. And of course the guy's like, I thought you said your girlfriends are riding the lift. And she's like, I'm sorry. And they get on the lift and immediately Dan says, you gave him the full $100. She's like, I never scammed anyone before. I've never.
Well, what was she supposed to do? Why did he give her $100?
And then she says, you gave me $250. So I was supposed to ask for change or. But I was trying to convince this guy to let us on the fucking lift. And Dan's like, no, you're right. And I want to say, great work, babe. And Parker says, you never call me pet names. You just call me Parker. And so then you kind of see Dan try to intentionally call her babe and baby to make her, like, because she clearly likes it. And I was like, oh, he's taking what she said. And he's like, oh, I don't use pet names. I should call her baby. She likes that.
Wow, Dan. I'm so impressed by this character.
I know. And I feel really bad what's going to happen to him.
Oh, no.
So, of course, we get on the ski lift, and we're already here, like, the groaning, the metal, the straining.
Yes.
They're like, having a time of their lives. We know that they're in a horror movie. So, yes. we're seeing,
I mean,
like,
even hearing
cable.
Those sounds
yes.
when you know you're likely to be safe and you're actually skiing, like, is not a nice thing to hear. It's the dental drill. You're like,
exactly, exactly. Mm-mm. Right, because you just imagine you'll just hear, like, the metallic, like, spring, and then the whole thing will just fucking drop. Exactly. Yeah. But Lynch keeps trying to want to pick a fight with Parker and sort of, like, position him, like, triangulate against her. And it's like, dude, just, like, learn to like her a little bit and then you could all hang out. It's, you know what I mean? Like, just accept that this is a natural part of life. But they're all supposed to be, like, 20, you know what I mean? And so she lights up a cigarette and she smokes. And he's like, oh, wow, I'm really enjoying the fresh mountain air. Let me see what it smells like. An old man's dental floss, which I thought was a funny way to describe the smell
that
of cigarette
is
smoke.
Interesting.
And she's like, oh, my God, we're outside. Like, it's not a big deal. And Parker then says, when do you think we'll be back? Like, because basically the idea is that they are probably like an hour or two drive from their college. So they go for a couple hours. And it's like, when do you think we'll be back? Because I have all this reading to do. And Lynch says, see, she's already breaking the first rule of ski day. No talking about anything else, except it's like, it's powder. You know, like, we are here to unplug. And as a result, Allison, they have left all of their cell phones in their locker.
Great.
So none of them have a cell phone because it's 2010. You'd be like, well, if we were skiing, we would have our cell phones on us because everyone has their cell phone all the time.
Yeah, right. It's like, that's like one of the good things that cell phones have provided us is this ability to be like,
scenario wouldn't happen.
Like communication in a dangerous scenario.
Yeah.
But.
And they had to explain it because otherwise, one of them would have their phone. You'd be able to call. But suddenly the lift stops. And also it's like, 10 a.m. Like, they're there early. So it's still daytime. There's a ton of people on the slopes. Lift stops. And Parker starts freaking out. And Lynch realizes, wait a minute. Are you afraid of heights? Would you be afraid if I did this? And he starts shaking the chair.
Oh, my God. Just go to jail.
I will say I am very afraid of specifically roller coasters and Ferris wheels.
Yes.
And I do think it's from growing up and being, like, stopped at the top of the Ferris wheel and someone going like, whoa, what about this?
Yes,
it's
for
like,
sure.
I wouldn't care for that. Please don't do that. Also, we would be the, like, I just assume that if someone were to shake my cart, mine would be the one where the bar comes off in my hand and then I fall out. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And again, we hear the cable groaning above them. Finally, the lift gets moving again. They get to the top of the slope. And again, a very cute Dan and Parker moment. So Dan is snowboarding and is teaching Parker to snowboard. Okay. Lynch is skiing, and it, like, the implication is that Lynch and Dan are both pros. Dan is trying to teach Parker and insists that she wears a helmet. And he's like, listen, I know this seems like a childlike thing, but she's like, no one else is wearing a helmet. He's like, pros wear it. It's just the only safe way to really to learn how to snowboard is wear a helmet.
Also, now everyone wears a helmet when they're skiing and snowboarding.
Yes.
This was just like right before it was the thing.
And she's arguing with him. But I'm like, if I was dating a woman and she's like, I bought you a helmet to protect your little brain while you learn to snowboard, I would propose. Like, I'm like, that's the nicest thing. I'm like, Dan's really looking out for you, girl. You don't want your head to burst open when it hits the fucking ground. Meanwhile, Joe goes over to help this hot brunette whose name is Shannon, who falls out of her skis, and he's helping her put her foot straps back on. And then this guy named Ryan comes over and shoves Joe to the ground. Like, it's the 50s, and we're like, in a, I don't know, like a beach musical or whatever. Shannon says, Ryan, like, how could you do this? And helps Lynch up. So now they're actually flirting. Before, he genuinely was just helping her with her skis.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, okay. Right. So if this guy...
Something.
Yeah. And they're flirting, but then she ends up sort of... skiing away, and you know, we'll see her in a little bit later. And then we have a very cute montage of Dan trying to teach Parker how to snowboard, and aww, Lynch being in the background being like, oh my God, like, oh, like just complaining and being like,
just go ski, bro,
she stinks. But in a very funny where it's like, yeah, this guy's being immature, but it's like, wow, we have to teach her, she's falling down, you know. So then later they're at the ski lodge. Parker's getting, again, hot cocoa from a mix, the best kind.
Yes.
And Lynch is grumbling about, like, we spent all day on the bunny hill. We didn't even go to any of the, like, the Black Diamond or whatever. And I had to watch your girlfriend fall on her ass. Like, wow, what a great day. And, of course, as soon as he's done complaining, Parker is immediately standing behind him with her cocoa. And she's like, look, I don't want to ruin anything. I'll go to the locker. I'll get my phone. I'm sure I have messages. You guys just go and do like a more, like a, whatever, I know, sophisticated, like go do one of the other more complicated runs. I don't care, you know, but, you know, Dan says, no, we want you to come with us. And of course, Lynch feels bad that she heard him talking shit. So he's like, no, we'll just go again. It's fine. By this point, night has fallen, but it is winter.
Mm-hmm. And so that's like 3:45.
Exactly. So, you know, basically I believe they say like, oh, when is this place closed? This other place closes at 10. So they do that. Like these places are open later, you know, they're well lit and everything. But it also could be 5 p.m. Like, I don't know at this point.
I remember dark. Night skiing was like a thing.
Yes. And it was really fun. Yeah. And, but I guess this place doesn't have it because they also bring that up. And Shannon stops, Lynch and is like, thanks again for helping me. And I'm so sorry that guy, Ryan is not my boyfriend. He's an ex-boyfriend. I just want to be clear. And so that was really rude and we're trying to be friends, but obviously it's not working out because I'm not going to deal with that, you know? And she says, like, do you come up here? And he says, yeah, we're here pretty much every Sunday. And she says, me and my friend come every Sunday. I guess I'll see you next week. And he says, yeah. And he goes back. He's like, oh, I don't have my phone, but I want to take your number. But she doesn't have her phone either. And neither have a pen. So he goes, why do you tell me your phone number and I'll try to remember it?
Oh.
And I was like, and I mean this, Allison, if I put a gun to your head, if I put a drill in your mouth, could you remember any numbers that are in your cell phone right now?
I only know my parents' house phone number because it's the same from when I was growing up. Like, that has it. Like,
yes,
I know my phone number. I don't know, including my parents' cell phone numbers, I don't know any other phone numbers.
I
remember the phone number for the Domino's in my neighborhood when I was growing up, and we would call them from the pool every day.
Yes.
987-3000. That was pre-area codes.
I was saying, that's jingle, so I feel like that's easier to remember.
Right, 3000. But like, do you know any, could you remember a phone number?
I believe I could tell you Jess's cell phone number, but really the number, and then Dave's number I know, but I always forget. So I actually have both their numbers written down, and my parents. It's literally just a piece of paper in my wallet with their numbers written down.
That's honestly very smart, and I think I might start doing that.
Because I got my phone stolen, and luckily I was with friends who also had Dave's number. Like, it was like they were able to trace back to like my parents' cell phone number.
Yes.
Which, shout out to my friends and to Dave for helping me in that moment.
Wonderful.
But no, and especially I could maybe remember it if I was able to sit here quietly in my room for 20 minutes. In the scenario they're going to be in, I wouldn't remember my own
name. It's chaos. Everybody's doing stuff. You're like all like, you know, keyed up on flirting. You're still skiing. There's a million things and sounds around.
There's no way if someone told me their cell phone number, I would remember it. So they go and they want to take like one last run. And apparently they've only gone up four times. But it's like the way it's laid out is like you sort of ski through the whole resort before you get to. So they've gone up four times, but like they've been doing it for hours, right? And they go to find the ski lift guy and it's shutting down early because a storm's coming in. And they're like, come on, man. We gave you $100. We've only been up four times. And Parker's sort of like, you know, giving a big puppy dog eyes. And they're like, just one more. And that's it. He's like, okay, but that's it. And you guys are the last ones. So he's trying to do them a solid, but of course that solid will backfire.
Yeah.
So as soon as they start heading up the hill, the lift guy, whose name is Jason, sees his coworker Rifkin coming over. And Rifkin says, hey, you got to go talk to our boss because he wants you to work next weekend. And Jason's like, I took that off 2 months ago. It is my brother's fucking bachelorette party. I've told him this a million times. I am not working next weekend. So he's already distracted, right?
Yes.
And then he throws Rifkin the keys to the lift. And he's like, there are three more on the lift. And when you see them come down the mountain, you can shut the whole thing down. But don't leave before you see the three.
Okay.
Allison, as our trio is still heading up, they see three guys snowboarding down. When these guys get to the bottom of the mountain, Rifkin, because he doesn't know any better, assumes, he said there are three more on the mountain. Three came off the mountain.
Three just came, right.
Shuts down the lift.
Oh, no.
And they're not all the way to the top, but they're closer, much closer to the top.
Higher
than
they are,
exactly.
Because there's parts of a lift where you're like,
yes,
I can get down. And that you could still see that there's clearly people on one of the chairs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think because it's night and because the storm's rolling in, like there's like less visibility. Mm-hmm. And I would say where they end up, I'm really bad. I'm bad at children's ages and I'm terrible at heights.
Me too.
But I'm saying we're looking at least a 5-story drop. Because to me, yeah. 3 stories less, maybe you could feel like, okay, maybe I could do this.
Yeah.
They are of a distance that you know if you survive, you're going to be very badly injured.
Yeah, and I'm on the 3rd floor and like I, looking down, it's, I mean, I would not want to jump, but like it is not as high as like the highest chairlift. Yes.
Yeah, so they are at the highest pinnacle point, and that is going to be the issue. It's like, yeah, because if you're a story up, you just jump for it and hope for the best, you know? So unfortunately, the lift stopped. However, the lift stopped when they were on it earlier. So they, of course, assume, oh, it's some mechanical right. thing. You know, like somebody, there's some issue. It'll start again. So, of course, Parker's the first one to start to flip out because she's new to this. Yes. You know, she's like, but luckily, Dan is trying to distract them. So Dan asks, so what do you guys think each will all say? What's the worst way to die?
I mean, bro, read the room.
And Dan says, I think it'd be eaten by a shark, but it's not really like about it. The being eaten by the shark is terrifying, but it's if you see the fin beforehand, because then you know it's coming and you see the shark's mouth beforehand. That's what terrifies me. And Parker says, I think it'd probably be burning in a fire.
Yeah,
but Lynch says, no, answer. That's the wrong answer. Like Lynch is like, I already know the worst way to die.
But
like,
there
no.
is a right answer and I know it.
Yeah. He's like, actually, most people in a fire die of smoke inhalation first. So it's not that bad, you know? And she says, okay. I just remember watching videos from 9/11. And she says, I remember watching people jumping from the buildings and thinking, well, how terrifying that must have been. The fire must have been so bad to think I have to jump. Knowing that there's no other option. Like, how terrifying. And I'm like, damn, girl, bringing up 9/11 here.
That
you
is
know.
Bold.
Woo. But then Lynch is like, well, actually, they say if you jump from that height, you have a heart attack first. I don't know why we say that. There's no way we could possibly know that.
We can't know that.
Like, how would you study that when the person is hitting the ground? Like, I'm like, that makes no sense.
No, no.
I think we tell ourselves to make, I think you are awake,
yes,
unfortunately.
That's more of a swaging fears.
It's for us.
Fears.
Yeah, it's for us. Also, I found a soy sauce packet I'm just holding. Like,
good.
A little soy sauce filled safety, security blanket, I guess. I don't know. And she's like, okay, Lynch, so I guess you're the only one with the right answer. So what is it? And the answer is the Sarlacc pit, which is from Star Wars.
That's not an answer.
It's not real.
Right.
Or are you a Star Wars gal? I forget.
No.
Okay. The Sarlacc pit is, it is a creature that lives under the ground and Boba Fett was knocked into it.
Okay.
At one juncture, I have not seen the Boba Fett show, so I don't know how they talk of that moment, if it's before or after, or The Mandalorian. I'm sorry, I haven't seen any of the new Star Wars shows. I only watch horror. But the idea is that it's a creature that if you, sort of a gigantic Venus flytrap that lives under the sand of this particular planet, and when you fall into it, you don't die, you're simply digested over thousands of years.
Oh.
And I will say...
People don't live thousands of years.
Well, and that's the thing. I guess we have to assume the thing keeps you alive for that long. Maybe it's like a source of like protein or something.
Sure.
So you're slowly, it's like a Venus flytrap, but it keeps you alive to sustain itself, which I would say, I would like that. You hate to see it. You hate to hear it.
You hate to.
And she's like, oh, okay. Like that doesn't exist. I brought up 9/11, you know. Allison, as they're arguing, we see, much like the shark's fin, we see from the bottom of the hill, the lights start to turn off on every pole.
Yes.
So but they don't know. We see it's coming. And finally, the light on the nearest pole turns off and they are plunged into darkness. Allison.
No.
What would you fucking do?
What would you do?
It's so scary because like, What do you do? I think I'd kill myself with a pole.
You would say it again? Sorry.
I'd use one of the poles and just stab myself.
Okay. See, I would say I'm going to piss and shit myself immediately.
Yes, of course.
And then I would start screaming and crying.
Yes.
And then realistically, I think the poll makes a lot of sense. I think that's the right move for you. I think I would be the one that's like, we got to jump. But I know that if I jump, I would immediately flip upside down and my head would explode and I would die. Best case scenario. No, if anything, I'd probably fall again.
I don't want to like break my legs.
Yeah, and you will. Like, there's like, if you had to jump, whatever you're landing on is broken. Like, it's that kind
even
of
if
height.
You like. What if you were to like slide out and be hanging from the lowest rung?
It's definitely gonna help, but unfortunately,
but that's like 5 feet, and we're talking about a big distance. We're like 5 feet probably won't be the difference between you like saving your legs or not.
Like, if you had some sort of like a length of rope or even like a bed sheet where you could sort of lower someone, maybe there'd be like a little bit, but unfortunately,
maybe you could like take off the jackets and like tie them together and like use the obviously it's cold, so that complicates things, but like that would be like my thought at a solution. Realistically,
you would throw myself over
the side.
You would just take it, just stab yourself with the skateboard.
I'd be out of there.
Parker immediately realizes what's happening and was like, oh my God, they forgot we're up here. Dan, of course, like, baby, we're going to be fine. Like, do not worry. Let's calm down. Maybe there's a power outage. They wouldn't leave us up here. Like, this is a ski resort. They have hundreds of people every day. They must have some sort of process by which they make sure, like, they have cameras somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
All logical things.
Yes, very.
But Parker offers, it's Sunday and this place is closed until Friday. It's only open Friday to Sunday. If they closed us off and there's a storm coming, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, we can't survive that long, even if it wasn't freezing cold, you know?
Right.
But Lynch is like, no, you're being crazy, you know? And then for the first time, they look down and it's high as hell.
Yeah.
You know, it is of a distance that you assume, best case scenario, you break both your legs, right?
Right.
Parker starts screaming. Lynch is trying to shush her.
Screaming feels like a good thing.
Well, yeah, because it's like, he's like, shush, and she's screaming, help. It's
right.
Like, what if somebody, like a maintenance
is
person.
Is around.
Like, there are people who work on the grounds here.
Right.
Why, at least try, you know? And it's kind of an area where there's not a lot of other sound. So it's like, if you're screaming, it probably carries further in this particular scenario versus if you're in the city or, you know, somewhere like that.
Yeah, right, where it like gets drowned out in noise pollution.
Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere, and a storm's coming.
Right, it travels on the mountain. Like, you can hear people yelling for longer distances. Right?
And Parker starts sobbing, and she says, I have to pee wicked bad.
Oh, man. See, that sucks.
Yeah. And Lynch says, me too. And he tries to strategize how both of them
unfair,
can pee.
Because, like, men, it's just easier.
You know, and he's like, she's like, if you take your dick out in front of me, I'm going to puke. And he's like, well, unfortunately, here we are. And he lifts up the bar to pee sort of like, from a sitting position with his dick out, and then the snowstorm just sweeps in. So before he could even piss, there's lightning. It's hard driving snow.
Yeah. See, this is where I'm out.
Yeah. And Parker even says, it feels like needles hitting my face. Like, it's like almost hail-like. It's like that icy snow.
Icy, yeah. And terrible ski conditions.
Exactly. They got a full day in. And they tell Lynch, because he lifted the safety bar to try to lean over to pee so he didn't pee on himself. Yeah. And they're like, put the safety bar down. And they put it down. And right then, as the squall sweeps over, a snowplow machine goes up the mountain. So it's passing underneath them. And they're trying to scream and call, but the sound of the storm coming in and then the driver's radio keeps crackling, he can't hear them. You know, it's like wind, it's all of this noise. The driver's name is Corey, which I'm like, oh, it's just nice to know. And he gets a radio transmission says, hey, the mountain is clear, and apparently this storm is going to be really bad. So come back to base so everyone can just go home already. Allison, the trio think quickly, and they start throwing stuff down onto the ski lift, or onto the snowplow.
Okay.
So Parker takes off her helmet, throws it, and misses. They throw a pole and misses, but then one of them takes off a ski and it hits, Lynch takes off a ski and hits the windshield, but it bounces off and it's with the snow. Like, the driver looks.
Didn't really see.
It looks like, like a branch or something. Like, there's nothing to
it doesn't register as like, there's people trying to get my attention.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so he just drives away. He drives down the mountain and he's gone.
Oh my God.
Wall stops. And they are freezing, covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
Lynch is still trying to insist the power is going to come back on. He also tells a joke, and Allison, I'm going to repeat this joke, and no offense to anyone, because they're supposed to be in New Hampshire. No offense to anyone from New Hampshire. What is a 14-year-old New Hampshireite tell her father after she's lost her virginity?
What?
Get off me, you're crushing my Marlboros.
All right.
He then starts asking, he's just trying to like say anything.
Like anything to keep like the mood from addressing the reality of where they are.
And he says, top three breakfast cereals of all time, go. Allison, what are your top three breakfast cereals of all time? Are you a breakfast cereal gal?
So I go through waves. I like sometimes I'm like, I'm in cereal mode. And then sometimes I'm like, I don't want to look at cereal. I mean, my favorite treat one as a kid was always Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That was my number one dessert cereal.
Yes.
I would say I really like a Honey Nut Cheerio.
A classic. Absolutely. Like,
I'll put that in anything. I'll eat a bowl of that very happily. And then I would say I used to like Smart Start. Remember Smart Start?
I do. I think I remember hating it, but it's a very particular. All of this is so personal. You know what I mean?
What about you? What would yours be?
I would say my dessert ones are from childhood, Cookie Crunch or Golden Grahams.
Oh, big Golden Grahams fan. Do you remember Honey Graham O's?
No.
They were so sweet, they hurt your mouth.
Oh, okay. This does sound familiar. Honey Graham O's.
They're like big, and they're super, super crunchy. They're these like big, like fried, crunchy O's. I mean, if you ever come across them, give them a whirl. And then they had these like really hard, crunchy clusters of like kind of like a brown sugar crumble on them.
Okay.
They were dessert.
Yeah, I will say I'd be going to the Target near me, and they capitalism, ladies and gentlemen. Capitalism. There are 12 new kinds of Cheerios. I want to try them all. We got a lemon, a frosted lemon. We got a honey vanilla. I want to try them, but it's like 12 different versions of Cheerios. I struggle to find a doctor who is accepting patients. You know, that kind of stuff.
I guess
it doesn't hurt for me to buy these, but then I don't know, just like almost like this, it strikes you.
Yes.
Our priorities. That being said, I'm going to get the lemon ones. They do look delicious.
Yeah.
And I
would there is a brand that like, I only see them sometimes. And whenever I see them, I buy like two boxes, but they're basically like, they're not Cheerios, but they're Cheerio style. Okay. But they're cinnamon.
Ooh. Okay.
Instead of honey, like big fan. If you ever come across those.
And always with every cereal, a banana. Like to me, if I'm having a bowl of cereal, I want a banana cut up in it.
Yeah.
I want Honey Nut Cheerios with a banana.
Okay, yes.
If for some reason, the banana is a breakfast fruit.
100% it's a breakfast fruit.
Thank you. Where are we picking up? Oh, okay. Yes. top three celebrities you'd fuck. Allison, top three. Give me top three celebrities. Who would you
fuck? Tom Hardy.
Great.
Mark Ruffalo.
Great, good.
He's in the mix.
Great choice. Can't see why I wouldn't be.
I can't even name a third person.
That's fine.
That's two.
I would say
that's two names I could think of right now.
I think that's pretty good for us.
Yeah. What
my
about you?
First answer I think would be Salma Hayek.
Yes.
And then
I'd throw Salma Hayek on my list.
I mean, my God.
She's like, so hot.
She's Jesus still so hot. Fucking Christ.
Well, why is she still so hot?
Well, but I guess we live in a patriarchy and like there's this idea, like I'm just saying, like the hottest women I know are in their 40s, 50s. Like that
absolutely.
Idea
no
of
question.
It is like
no question.
Whatever. Like it's also tied to like fertility and all that stuff. And it's like, have you spoken to a woman who is in their 50s? Like grow up.
Right.
But that's the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I'll think more on this though.
Rachel Weisz.
Stunning.
I saw Rachel Weisz and Daniel Craig eating dinner once a couple of years ago, and I was like, I'll fuck both of you here. Like, I don't understand. Like, they're so hot.
They're like, ma'am, please back away from the table. Thank you for letting us know. Please back away. And then after that question, Dan interrupts and says, someone needs to jump.
No.
Because if we're up here all week, if what Parker says
all
it's true.
Week.
And it makes sense. Like, we can't survive up here. We will freeze to death.
Yeah.
And Lynch is like, what's the best Christmas present you ever got? You know, he's like trying to ignore what Dan's saying. And Parker says, oh, Shayna, my puppy. So she just got a puppy for Christmas.
Aww, puppy.
And also when she's getting a cigarette out, I'd be just fucking chain smoking.
I'd be like, let's wrap this up, baby.
Yeah. Just set fire to the chair.
Yeah.
But while she's getting her cigarettes out, she drops one of her gloves. And Dan looks at her face and realizes it's already getting red. She's getting frostbite on her face. So Allison, Dan decides he's going to be one to jump. Allison.
I don't like it.
He jumps and he hits the ground in a standing position. Mm-hmm. And we see his legs, I would say, explode.
Yeah.
Both femurs shatter so badly, they burst through the skin. Allison, you hate to see it.
If you were to fall, if you were to jump and you had control over the way you landed.
Which I wouldn't.
But let's say you could.
I don't know what other options are there. Like, however you land, you're going to be so badly injured. What would you, how would you land?
Part of me was like, do you land, try and land on your side?
Okay. But I'd be concerned. I would hit my head.
Yeah. If you could land, like, I mean, like, you'll lose your shoulder and your hip. Like, I mean,
it's. Right. Like, you'd break that arm.
You break the ribs. You might puncture your, like, it's like, look, there is no good way to go down.
Let me see what Google has to say about this. Best way.
Because if you're going, if you land feet first, like, the pressure is on the smallest.
In a fall.
You know what I mean? It's like there's such a small point. Like the impact is so intense. But if you kind of go down on your side, the surface area might.
So this is Harvard EDU. Now, to be fair, I think they're talking about just a regular fall, not a fall from a ski lift during a snowstorm. But they say fall sideways if possible. Use your shoulder to protect your head. So yes. I guess if you were to land like this, you would die. But if in this scenario.
Right.
It also says here's some other suggestions in case anyone finds themselves falling. Fall like a sack of beans. So try to relax
everything. I do everything like a sack of beans.
So try to relax everything. Yeah, you know how that ability just. I don't know how to relax and I'm on vacation. You think I'm going to be able to relax when I'm toppling,
falling through the air?
Falling to my death. Fall on the soft, fleshy places like your butt and thighs. My spine would explode out of my fucking back, bitch. Like, give me a break.
It would go through your skull.
Yeah. Listen, Harvard, we didn't go there, but like, come on.
No,
but obviously they're talking about if you trip and
if you
fall,
just are like falling.
Fall on your butt, that makes more sense than having your head hit the concrete. But anywho, as you can imagine, there's no way this could have gone not horribly.
Right.
So the problem is not only is he in horrible pain, but he cannot walk. So like he's stuck there screaming.
And he can't do any of the things he's trying to do to help them, which is to go get assistance.
So now he's
assistance.
Just trapped. He's essentially in the exact same situation, but 30 like or 40 feet below them.
And
you know
worse
what I mean?
Too. Like, and
in horrible bleeding, like shock, blood loss. It is still freezing. Maybe the cold would slow the blood loss.
That's what I was wondering if maybe the cold would also prevent like infection.
Yeah. And listen, I can't hurt, but it did hurt when he hit the ground.
For sure.
Detonated like that fucking submersible. I guess that imploded.
Yeah.
I will say the special effects aren't that great, but the effect is awful. And yes. Lynch throws down his handkerchief. And so, I used to think that Dan would lose consciousness, but he's awake and he's screaming, but he's tying off his leg. And I will say, all the acting this is really good. I only say that because it is mostly just them trapped talking to one another.
It's a small.
Yeah. So to be good. So this guy's name is Kevin Zegers. He's been in a ton of stuff. Let's see. The Mortal Instruments. I never saw that. He was in Transamerica. I didn't see that. Fuck, I haven't seen
it either.
Oh, he's in Gossip Girl. He's in The Rookie, Colin Feds. He's been in a million things that I have not seen.
Yeah.
So, but he's great in this movie. I really, because he has to, he's the emotional heart and then has to, he's like screaming this panic, like, help me, please. And it really is heartrending. And at one point, Parker is so distraught. She's like, I'm going to jump down. I have to be there with him. But Lynch is like, do not do
that. Don't do that.
And Dan hears it. And he's screaming, don't jump. Stay up there. Because he's like, if you jump,
this
the same thing will happen to you. Yeah. So here's the new plan. And they pivot. And they're like, we have a new plan. I'm like, what else can you do?
Maybe I can climb up to the cable and get to a chair that's closer to the ground.
You got
to
be careful, man. Those cables are razor sharp.
Allison, just as they come up with this, I would say, pretty good plan, in the distance they hear the howling of wolves.
No.
Dan hears it and he starts screaming, in part out of distress, another part because it's like, I need to scream to keep the wolves away.
Right.
And Parker says, no, 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 no. And she's trying to yell down, like, it's not the worst case scenario. It could be the Sarlacc pit, which my autocar kept changing to the garlic pit. Hmm. I'd love to die in a garlic pit.
I'd love to die in a garlic pit.
Lynch goes to stand up and reach for the cable. And he says, you know, I've never been afraid of heights until right now. It's like, yeah, sorry, bitch. Yeah, this bro. Is on you. You have to do this. He also says, I have never been able to successfully do a pull-up. It's like, yeah, this.
Okay, well, this is going to be really hard then.
Allison, Dan looks up and a wolf is snarling at him from about 10 feet away.
No. And he can't move.
He can't move. And he screams, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And so Parker's is like, she takes off her snowboard and she's throwing it at the wolf and it scares the wolf away for now.
For now.
Dan reports he has lost feeling in both his legs. So he's like, I feel good that they don't hurt, but it also seems like a bad sign that I'm losing sensation in my legs.
That is a bad sign.
And Lynch realizes that Parker's skin is getting more and more discolored. So she's getting more frostbite on her face. And it's sort of like they're bundled up. Except for her glove is gone, but their faces are exposed, you know?
Right.
And Lynch is like, fuck it, we gotta do this. And he reaches up to the cable, and Dan tells him, be careful because the cable will be freezing cold and razor sharp. It's like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Why don't they just make out of like barbed wire at that point?
I mean, basically. I guess they were probably also just frozen scenario.
And yes. Like icy.
Exactly. So it's like icy, slippery, pointy, and a hard metal.
The worst of the seven dwarves.
And right as Lynch goes to pull himself like out of the chair, he looks down and the wolves are surrounding Dan. So he drops back into the car and they're like both he and Parker are trying to scream, you know, trying to scare the wolves away. And Allison, there's about a half dozen wolves.
No, that's too many wolves.
And Dan screams, don't let her look. And Lynch grabs Parker's face and like makes her look at him as we hear the wolves start to tear Dan apart. And he's screaming as he's being torn apart, don't let her look.
No.
And she's screaming at Lynch, trying to fight him, being like, let me look. Because what else, which I understand the impulse is like, I can't be there. I have to look.
Yeah, you know right. What I mean? It's a tough, like, you yes. don't want to look, but you do want to look.
I don't know what I would do. I would probably look just because it would feel like I'm there in some more significant way, even though it's like, no, you're not, you know, like... But unfortunately, while they cannot look, they certainly can hear.
Yeah.
And so we hear Dan screaming, and Parker and Lynch are also screaming, like basically into each other's faces so they don't look down. And finally, Dan falls silent, and all the wolves howl. And both Parker and Lynch are like sobbing. I genuinely teared up at this point.
I mean, it's awful.
I don't. Yeah, like you were completely powerless to save both either your best friend or the love of your life. Like, it's so sad. Pour out a ski lodge hot chocolate for a real one because that's a feature wrap on Dan. Listen, he tried his absolute best. I'm sorry, Dan.
Ugh.
Allison, Parker, Lynch are still stuck on the ski lift.
No.
I have to live through this. And it's like, well, fuck. And Lynch reveals when he started to reach onto the cable, it is so sharp it cut through his gloves and his palms are already shredded. And because they're trapped, Parker kind of does what Lynch was doing earlier and picks a fight with him. Mm-hmm. So sort of like distract in like this human way. And she says, why did you let him jump? And Lynch is like, you didn't stop him either. Like, and she says, he wouldn't have listened to me. He actually listens to you. And Lynch says, I know what you're thinking. It should have been me. I should have jumped. And Parker's like, I'm not saying that, obviously. But then he comes back. He's like, you know, if you hadn't tried to force yourself into our thing, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. It's like, Lynch, that doesn't make any sense.
That's not helping.
And I think a good reminder for our audience, in a crisis, try your best not to go wide with it. You know what I mean? Like, I know they want to blame each other because there's simply nothing else to do. This is not a scenario which is anyone's fault, truly.
Yes.
And eventually they both break down crying and they like hold each other. And as they, you know, sort of go on, as the night goes on, Parker turns and she remembers the phone number that Lynch, because Lynch said, would you guys help me remember this, Shannon's phone number? And she tells him the full number.
Wow.
And Lynch is like,
I'm going to ask her to marry me. I'm going to mess around. I'm just going to call her. I'm going to be like, hey, Shannon, it's Joe. from the chairlift. Will you marry me? We'll get a house and have two kids. A dog named Steve.
And she's going to be, she has a lot of money, actually. It's going to be her house. She's an orthodontist. She's an extremely successful orthodontic press. She's like, orthodontists make good money. I love that for you. He's like, then we're going to get a dog named Steve.
Oh.
And Parker starts panicking because Shayna, her puppy, has not been fed. So then so it's like, watch it. Honest to God, and the actress who plays Parker is also great. It's like a 5-minute realization of her dog will die because she's the only one with key to her apartment and no one knows.
And no one knows she's not there. And
so
she can't even tell anyone.
So if they don't find us for a week, then her dog will die.
The dog is dead.
So it's like knowing this. And she's like, my dog's going to think I abandoned it.
Oh.
And if someone finds us, we'll be frozen and my dog will be dead and we'll have no, we'll just think I left her there. And she's like sobbing and the tears are freezing to her face. Oh. And she keeps trying to wipe her face, but because she has frostbite, Lynch says, don't wipe your face because your skin's going to come off. Because her skin is like,
oh,
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. Oh, the actress' name is Emma Bell. She's on The Walking Dead. Again, I didn't watch The Walking Dead. Yeah. She's in a lot of stuff. She's great. Oh, she's in Final Destination 5. We got to do
more of the Final Destination.
We got to do him.
So she's panicking, and Lynch is like, no, the people, your neighbors will hear the dog, and they're going to kick in the door when the dog barks. That dog's going to bark all night. You know what I mean? The landlord's going to come. Someone will call someone for the dog.
If a dog was nonstop barking, I would call, like, the super or the doorman or something and be like, hey, like, in, like, 2L, like, somebody's going nuts. Like, somebody should go check.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, also, we're not going to die, so we'll get back there. And it's sort of like, well, the other thing you said was more plausible, which is, like, someone will save your dog, even though
you are
going to freeze
to
death. Yeah. And she says, I just want to see my mom and my dad. Aww. Allison, dawn breaks on the mountain. So they've survived the night. The lodge is all closed up tight. Everyone's gone. And now everything's covered in snow. So it's sort of like to even get back there, there will have to be like plows and stuff. So it has, things have gone from bad to worse in as much as that now snow is covering things. And there people are going to be slower to come back to the mountain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They look down and we also see that.
Has the snow gotten high enough? Like, is it, so, like, is that assisting the distance?
Well, I believe so. So we look down and Dan's corpse is now pretty much covered other than his fingers. So his fingers are poking out, but I think they did that there have been a significant pillow of snow, but perhaps not quite so much that your legs would not explode were you to jump.
Right.
But again, they're going to have to revisit these questions. So we see Lynch and Parker, and she wakes up first, and her bare hand is frozen to the safety bar.
This is in the trailer.
And she goes to lift it, and she starts prying it off. I'm saying, kill two birds with one stone. You haven't peed yet. Try to piss in your hand and then put it on
and
your
then,
frozen hand.
Yes. Because my first instinct was spit.
Also a great idea.
But
yeah.
Piss on your hand.
Piss into your hand, put it on the other hand, see if that, but instead she just rips her hand off. So her palm skin gets ripped off on the bar.
Oh my God.
And I also said even spit would have been probably would have helped.
Yeah, look at us.
And her sobbing as she does this wakes Lynch up and he goes, oh no, I thought I was dreaming this. In my dream, this wasn't real. And he looks over and there's a big brown and red spot on her cheek, which is like fully frostbitten.
Yeah.
So the skin on her face is dying. And he says, do not touch your face because that skin's going to come right off. And he says, well, it's morning. Maybe someone will come up. We don't know. Like maybe they have maintenance people during the week. You know, I mean, like, look.
After a storm, you might. Yeah.
I know. But it's also like.
No. Like you might like there might be like we got to go check and just see if anything got destroyed in the
storm.
Yeah.
Electrical or like, yeah, somebody checking the lift. And he's like, plus when we don't come to. So it's like now it's Monday. It's like when we don't come to class, people are going to be asking where we are. So, like, there is some sort of timeline of people realizing, and they know that we go to this place a lot. So, you know, but again, it's like the timeline of that is not in their favor.
No.
And he says, I'm going to get to the lift pole, and I'm going to climb down. Even though his hands are shredded, he's like, there's no other option. I don't see any other way. And she's like, well, maybe let's wait a couple hours to see if anyone shows up, if anyone comes in, and then... If not, then you could do it. And she finally just pisses her pants. And she's sobbing. Yeah. And she's trying to wipe the tears off her face. And the frostbitten patch of her skin just comes off her face. It's also forming around her mouth. And Lynch is also getting frostbite patches, like red patches. And he falls back to sleep probably because his body is shutting down.
Yeah.
And later they wake up and they're like, oh, the sun's actually kind of nice right now because the sun's out. And Barker goes, Lynch, why don't you ever have a girlfriend? And I was like, girl, we got it. Leave this guy alone. Like,
yeah,
he's never going to have a girlfriend.
He could have a girlfriend in the future if he wasn't trapped on a ski lift.
Yeah, it may be in heaven. He could meet a nice lady, aww, Liz Lemon style.
Yes.
And she's like, well, you're a decent guy and chicks clearly dig you. And he tells a story about like basically his first love. They met during Frost Show. They both love E.T. He says, we both loved E.T. and Aerosmith. We were soulmates, you know, like that shit you read about, which sure. I love. And like being in college where it's like, we both love E.T. and Aerosmith.
Yeah, you know? That like popular movies and popular music that like that's an inseparable bond that nobody else could challenge. It's very,
very
college.
Sweet.
It's very sweet.
Unfortunately, she liked this frat guy named Dean, or I thought she did. And one day they were at lunch and he says, like, Annie was sitting with, like, my back was to the, like, cafeteria and I was facing the wall at Annie. And Annie was looking behind me and laughing. And she says, Dean's making fun of you. But when he turned around, he couldn't even see where Dean was. And it was just sort of like some guy, I don't even know what he looks like, is laughing at me and you'd rather talk to him than me. So he just walked out. And he's like, you know, I always wonder, like, if I like really tried to talk to her or like, I don't know. And also they're like 20. So it's like, what do you, I don't know.
He's
like,
yeah, it's, yeah.
And he's like, well, look, maybe when we go home, you should call her and be like, listen, that was fucked up. But like, I still clearly have feelings for you. And she's like, oh, I can't do that. She's dating Dean. So it's like, well, he was right. It's just sort of like, so I think it was like, oh, that I'm still not over that.
Yeah.
And Parker says, Dan was the one. Dan was the boy I was going to marry. Like he was the one. And then Lynch tells Parker about meeting Dan. They just describe him constantly as fat, but in my mind, it's cute. But he met Dan in first grade, and he was new to the school, and he couldn't stop crying. And the teacher says, well, maybe you could sit with one of your friends, even though he's just new. And he pointed to Lynch, and he's like, I want to sit with him. And so they end up being friends and then going to college together, like friends forever. And Lynch tells her, Dan didn't die just for you and I to die up here, too. So let's fucking do this. He's going to try and scale the cable again. So Allison, my question to you, who will survive?
Who will survive?
I think Parker is going to survive and just barely.
Like, okay, great.
Like at the very last second, someone's going to be able to rescue her or seize her or like gets to her. But I think that Lynch is not going to survive.
Alan, oh my God, Alan. I was going to say Allison, but I was thinking of Dr. Alan.
Dr. Alan from Dentist.
We did not, in The Dentist, I skipped over Who Will Survive. And I think that's because I didn't want anyone to survive. It was like the protagonist is like, I don't give a fuck if this motherfucker lives from jump. So then I think maybe that's mentally, I just skipped right over it.
You were just like, it doesn't matter. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't, fuck him. I don't need to know. Like, I hope everyone dies. Not really, but I hope he did.
Well, not Paula Roberts, but, you know.
Yeah, not dear. And she didn't. Paula Roberts. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Paula Roberts made it.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen, go listen to The Dentist before we get
listen to The Dentist and then come back and finish this.
And Paula Roberts would survive this movie, no question. Paula Roberts would have already
no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, snuggled up in front of a fire. Also, we see Lynch get up and he starts hoisting himself down the cable, again, cutting into his hands. Allison, as soon as the wolves see this, they run out of the woods.
And like now there's blood in the water. Like, I mean, I imagine the same way with sharks, like there's blood in the water.
You know, and it's one of those things where it's like wolves don't really attack people, but they would if they were starving. And it's like, well, they would if they were encroaching on their habitat or they didn't have food because of climate change. Like, I think the implication is like these wolves are starving. So that's why they're acting like this. Like, it's not a normal thing in New Hampshire to be attacked by wolves. And we see his hands get cut over and over again. And finally, he gets to the next chair. So basically, it's them, another chair, and then the pole. So he's able to, like, get to the next chair and rest for a second.
Okay.
And take a breather. Allison, Parker looks up, and the actual screws connecting the her car, their car they had been on, to the cable mechanism is coming undone. And I was like, what kind of shithole fucking ski resort is this?
Right.
They've just been sitting on it. It's not like they've been dancing. I guess they're moving around a little bit, but like,
but like no more than you would be in a standard day of
it gets a lot of wear. Exactly. So she's watching this and Lynch says to Parker, throw, because there's a ski pole. They still have one ski pole. Throw the ski pole as far as you can towards the pole, because when he gets to the ground, Allison, he's going to have to fight off at least a half a dozen wolves.
No, that sucks.
Out for blood.
That sucks.
So he starts scaling and he's doing a lot better. And Parker's like, oh my God, you're doing it. And finally gets to the pole and starts climbing down the ladder. He gets to the ground. He is immediately set upon by wolves, Allison.
Yes, of course.
Luckily, he's able to get the ski pole that Parker threw. And he's like, sit still. I'm going to get somebody. And then because he's so weak, he doesn't put on skis or a snowboard. He literally just grabs a snowboard and sits on it and starts sliding down the mountain.
That is smart.
That's smart. Just fucking get moving.
That's just smart.
Allison. Mm-hmm. But as he slides, the wolves start chasing him.
Of course.
And we're left with Parker, who is there alone. Oh. And night falls again. And there's no...
And then being by yourself, like, at least when there's another person yes. with you, like, even after Dan died, like, there's, so, like, you keep each other from going crazy. You talk about scenarios that could, like, maybe work out. Like, when it's just you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And so there's, we don't see Lynch return. There's certainly no rescue team. Nothing has changed. Allison, she wakes up in the morning. So she's been there. They've been there two nights. Wakes up, barely survived. At one point, I thought she was frozen to the bar, but really it's just like her frostbite is sort of like coming off her face. And she looks up and sees the screw connecting the chair wobbling, and then the screw just pulls apart. And the chair falls, but because it's still connected to the cable, it kind of gets caught by the cable and swings. So it's sort of like the actual car chair she's in is suspended by the broken cable. And you can hear that very classic, like, ping-pong, like, as it starts to break apart.
Yeah.
So she's dangling, panicked, halfway between the sky and the ground, and then the cable snaps entirely. But to your point, she's closer to the ground.
Yeah.
She falls. She's fine. Allison, the car falls on top of her, breaking her leg.
No.
And I say this at this moment, which is something I say to myself every night when they look in the mirror, this bitch cannot catch a break. I was like, oh, Jesus, God, woman. But she has no choice but to survive. So she's able to hoist the chair off and then just starts crawling down the mountain on her stomach because she cannot walk. And there's like basically everything's covered in snow. So there's no other, she can't find the other snowboard.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Also, there's wolves on the mountain.
There's wolves on the mountain. And
she slides down only to basically slide into Lynch's torn apart corpse being picked apart by wolves. And she sort of braces herself, but Allison, the wolves have been satiated because they ate two people already.
Okay.
They look at her, they're like stained with blood, but they look very full and sleepy. And they follow her. And so she has to keep going out like a penguin sliding down the fucking mountain. And she, like, at one point she has to like get up. So she's like half sliding, half just stumbling, like the propulsion of her falling is down the mountain. And she finally sees the road. But as she tries to wave to a car, her leg gives way. And she has to belly crawl, crawling to the snow. And I thought for sure she was going to be hit by a logging truck or something.
I mean,
I was like,
absolutely,
dear God,
what I'm expecting.
Please. But she's so tired, she basically starts succumbing to the elements. And she puts her head down on the shoulder, too exhausted to go on. And a minivan whips around the corner, but thank God sees her in time and veers out of the way. And the driver runs over and helps her up. And we see her with her head on the passenger side window as the driver calls the hospital, or 911 is like,
the hospital's only 10 minutes away. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay, baby. You're going to be okay.
The end.
Oh.
I know. Also, what are some fatal mistakes you think people made in the movie Frozen?
Fatal mistakes.
Once they were stuck, I think everyone did like all they could do.
Yes. I think they were really brainstorming. They were working well together. Like,
I would say,
what else could you do?
But I think just not bringing their phones with them.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
That was
if they had had their phones.
Yeah.
You could have set out an emergency alert or something. Yeah. Even if you didn't have like service, like, you know, there's always some kind of like SOS call. Other than that, I mean, everybody really did try their best, both like physically to escape, but also like emotionally to keep each other going.
They really did. And then even after Dan was again torn apart by wolves, you know, like Lynch and Parker really came together and they shared stories about him and sort of bonded in a way that at least kept her alive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like they did the best they possibly could.
They really did.
They did better than we would have been. This is just a bad situation. One of those bad situations.
Bad situations that you don't want to find yourself in.
And then where would you place Frozen on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
Heights is one of my big fears, and being trapped in heights is up there. Like, I think that this is this. I'm between a 7 and an 8.
Okay.
I think like the frostbite, the isolation, the like, even if you get down, there's wool. Like, it's just like, it's inescapable. And those are all like pretty real scenarios you could find yourself in. So yes, I'm going to say 7.5. I'm doing a lot of halves these days.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say 6.
Okay, sure.
A 10 for enjoyment. I really like this movie. I feel like because of the nature of how it's formatted in the actual scenario, like, there, you do get downtime. Where, like, I really enjoyed, I thought, like, again, the acting was great. Like, they really sold these, like, little anecdotal moments. But it sort of gave you, it took away from me the scares to have those sort of warm moments.
Mm-hmm.
I like a horror movie that's more unrelenting. Like, that's to me what is scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still really enjoyed it. And I would say, in terms of as a film, 10 out of 10, loved it. And if you're scared of any of these things, either do or don't watch this, depending on which variety of listener you are.
Yes.
But yeah, I'll tell you, the wolves, I wasn't expecting the wolves.
The wolves are a little bit of a left turn, and they really upped the ante. So
they really did. And I appreciated that.
Tough.
And I guess I'll shout out, I realize I didn't say who wrote or directed this. I apologize, everybody. And it is written and directed by Adam Green, who also, let's see. Okay. He worked in the Hatchet franchise. We've not delved into the Hatchet franchise, but we will have to, of course. And this was a treat. This was an absolute treat. A movie that I wanted to watch for a while because it keeps being recommended to me, I believe on Shudder. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We will continue with our worst fears.
All of our fears.
And they will so be
many.
Realized.
Yeah.
I know. Yes, dentist heights and God knows. Ooh, what if a dentist was up real high, Allison?
Oh, high up dentist. No, thank you.
No, thank you. And until next time, thank you for listening. And please
keep it spooky.
Come on.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolade.